CPA and CFP Don Cash has made it his life's work to help people like you plan their finances and achieve their retirement goals. It's time for Your Money and Your Life.
Welcome into another edition of Your Money and Your Life with Don Cash and myself, here to talk investing, finance, and retirement, and some driverless cars, missed medical expense tax breaks, and other conversation that Don and I wind up getting into along the way. And if you've got questions along your way and you need some conversation with a qualified professional, a CPA and a CFP, well, then reach out to Don at DonaldCash.com. That's DonaldCash.com. And don't forget to subscribe to Your Money and Your Life on Apple and Spotify and YouTube platforms as well. What's going on, my friend? How are you doing this week? I hope you're well. We are just talking about some spring, you and I. March Madness is upon us, and maybe the old groundhog was right, baby.
You know what? Is winter over, Mark? I hope so.
Me
That's
too.
That's what I'm hoping for. Today is like the first really, like, you know, clear, comfortable day for walking. Although it was crazy windy here lately. I'm not sure if you got that too.
Last couple days, yeah.
Yeah. But we just were talking off the air that started daylight savings time here a couple of days ago. And it's always nice when the sun sets at like 7:30. And it's amazing what a difference a month makes. Like the last time we had a show, it was mid-February. It was getting dark at like 5:15.
Yeah. Yeah. Long days will do that too. Vitamin D is good, right? Good to have that vitamin D back and everything. Hey, speaking of sun, you were out in the sun. What is the sun state? What do they call that? Arizona.
That's a good question. What is the state? Florida is the Sunshine State.
Yeah, but I thought something.
Grand Canyon State, I think.
I don't know what it is, but it's sunny. I knew that. How was it?
Well, actually, you know what? Ironically, Mark, it was kind of cool and rainy, but odd, very odd. One of the things that I saw all over Phoenix and Scottsdale were these Waymo self-driving taxis. Have you ever seen these things?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man, it's kind of like getting to be really common out there. So it's basically a self-driving Uber with like a satellite dish on the roof, and there's no one in it except for the passenger sometimes. So it's very odd to be driving down the road, and you stop at a red light, and a car pulls up next to you. You look over, and there's no driver and no passenger. A little freaky.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling that yet, you know?
You know, would you not take a ride in a Waymo? You'd have to really let someone else do it first, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm there yet. Some of the stuff that we're trying, I'm just like, can we punt that away for another 20 years? I'm not sure I'm there. But, hey, you know, either way, right, it is what it is. Technology's coming. So overall, the trip was good, though?
It was good, and saw, like I said, a lot of these Waymos.
Right.
Which I started doing some research on these things.
And what a weird name anyway, Waymo.
Waymo, yeah. Right? Odd. But here's the lore that I see on this. They're all really nice. They're like Jaguars.
Oh.
They're Jaguar midsize SUVs. Uh-huh. The fares are actually less typically than Uber and Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
There's no tipping the driver, obviously, since there's no
You know the world's going to get weird when they're like, please tip your driver. It's like, wait a minute. There's nobody in there.
Yeah, and one of the things we saw during my conference was all the technology coming up in the business world.
Uh-huh.
They're creating Starbucks with no baristas. Like, it's all a robot making your drinks. It makes the perfect latte.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, you know, you show up. It's kind of like an old coffee machine, but a little bit, you know, a lot more jazzed up.
Yeah.
Right. But getting back to the Waymo, they operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And here's what I didn't realize. It's owned by Google and recently has partnered up with Uber. So I know Uber, their vision is to have a fleet of driverless cars so they can cut the driver's fee out of the equation.
I mean, careful what you wish for, folks. I mean, all this technology and stuff. I don't know, Don, about you, but it's like at some point, you know, you want to be replaced by robots, then keep going, you know?
Well, that's what I saw a survey, Mark, that said, if you're over 50 years old, 75% of people said they would never get in a Waymo.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking like 20-year-olds. Like at the rate that things are going, what are they going to do for a job in 20 years?
That's true.
You know, so I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I guess that's our driverless conversation. I suppose we should transition into some tax break, some financial conversation. Otherwise, I'll get on my soapbox, I suppose, about technology. But on the last show, Don, we did talk about IRA deductions and getting income under the Medicare surcharge income limit. We ran out of time when we were, you know, going to talk about long-term care, insurance deductions, health savings accounts, things of that nature. So could we tackle that this week, please?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that there's so, it's so deep. Both of these topics are, there's so much to it. So
yeah, for sure.
I liken these deductions, Mark, the long-term care and the health savings account.
Uh-huh.
It's like mining for gold or taking one of those metal detectors to the beach to look for valuables left in the sand.
Okay, now you're showing your age, right?
So it's exciting when you hit on something.
Yeah, you're like, woohoo.
And I do this with my daughter from time to time. I have a young daughter. We have to take a metal detector out into the woods.
It is kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, we kind of find sometimes like old bullets and Revolutionary War.
Oh, wow.
And, Civil War, like buttons and things like that. They're not terribly valuable, but it's a lot of fun.
Sure, definitely.
So let's talk about the long-term care first. So here's some basics, right? The cost of nursing homes can be over $150,000 a year now.
Some people don't even make that, so yeah.
Yeah, especially here in New Jersey. I mean, the expenses are like astounding. Really all on the East Coast. It's not even New Jersey anymore. Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Carolinas even are getting expensive.
Oh, for sure.
And assisted living, in-home care are typically easily over $100,000 a year.
Mm.
So many people who have long-term care insurance, they know that they can take a deduction as an itemized medical expense deduction on what's called Schedule A of the 1040 tax form. We're all familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is particularly valuable since many people have faced these rate increases on their long-term care policies. So it just increases the potential deduction they can get. So people should think of it that way as well. But there's a few things to know with this medical expense deduction that you need to know before you can take full advantage, right? So you can only make the deduction where your medical expenses exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, right? So there's that AGI number that we talk about.
Right.
So if your adjusted gross income is $100,000, you can only deduct expenses over $7,500. And here's what you also need to know. The medical expense deduction, Mark, it includes long-term care insurance, Medicare Part B and D premium, and your Medicare supplement premium, as well as any out-of-pocket medical and unreimbursed long-term care expenses. So if you have out-of-pocket, let's say, dental bills one year,
mm-hmm.
I was speaking to some friends of mine down in Arizona who needed implants, dental implants, and they can be like really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add those to deductible expenses. There are limits here. You're allowed to make on your long-term care insurance premiums. They're based on age, and we can put up a link for those.
Yeah, definitely. We'll grab those and put the link up for folks to check those out when it comes to those numbers. A little easier to kind of see than just hear. Anything else to keep in mind?
Yeah, regarding the medical expenses, you know, most people actually don't even itemize these deductions anymore, Mark,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if you're married, married couple, there's a standard deduction of almost $28,000.
Right, exactly.
Right, so you have to add up a lot of these individual itemized bills to get over that amount. And if you're 65 years old or older, it's over $30,000. So there's a big standard deduction, but there's still plenty of opportunities really from year to year that arise to take these deductions.
Yeah, and that's like you said. There's that bump up there as well. So, are there any medical expenses that people have that fall through the cracks that they aren't taking full advantage of, or is it just something that we're missing out on right now because of those deductions?
You know what? There's a lot of opportunities there, Mark. There's still missed planning areas,
mm-hmm.
and a few that I see, really two that stand out that I see more and more are actual unreimbursed nursing home and home health care expenses. And entrance fees for these so-called life care communities, which are typically, actually, they're actually prepaid medical expenses.
Hmm. Can you give us an example of that? I'm not quite tracking, so let's see if we can kind of break that down some more.
All right, so this is where we could take a difficult situation like an extended healthcare crisis and create a benefit for the ill person in the family.
Okay. Right? All right.
So let's say we have a married couple with $100,000 of adjusted gross income, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they had long-term care expenses of, let's say, $150,000 a year, as well as property tax deductions of $10,000, they would essentially have negative income of over $150,000 since they would have such huge deductions.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because their income would be 100, their deductions would be, you know, 160, and they essentially would pay zero income taxes for the year.
Okay, I get that. So what am I missing, or what is missing?
Okay, here's a big planning opportunity for the individual and the family. The problem is with that loss that you get, you can't carry it forward.
Oh,
year
over year?
From 1 year to the next.
Okay.
So if you don't plan well, the loss is gone forever, right? So the old saying is, and I said this a few times in the past shows, you know, stock markets go up and down, but money lost to taxes, it's gone forever. And this is a good example of that. So here's how the scenario would typically play out. Often, the person or couple who were in this situation where someone had long-term care would simply provide their CPA with all of this information from the prior year, including the expenses for the long-term care and all the other 1099s and other information they would have,
mm-hmm.
give it to the tax preparer, and he would see that the expenses far exceed the income, and he would tell the person, hey, no income taxes due this year. But that's not planning, really. It's looking through the rearview mirror to record what happened, and they just blew a huge planning opportunity.
Well, you know, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, as a CPA and a CFP, you're kind of looking at both sides of this coin. So what's the better path?
Yeah, so we're looking at the back, right, the history, and we're looking through the rearview mirror and the windshield, so to speak, right? We're looking at the path going forward. So here's a better way. If that couple had an IRA, individual retirement account, they could withdraw the money from that account or roll over IRA funds to a Roth IRA in that year that they had the long-term care expenses and net the deduction against the income coming out of the IRA and fully absorb the deduction, right? Think of it like a sponge absorbing the water.
Okay.
You can't do it after December 31st of the prior year. That's water under the bridge.
Can't do it. Okay.
Right. You can't just give the CPA your information and take the deduction by April 15th. You need to plan ahead. So I'm working with a client who did this last year as well as doing it this year because the person's in a nursing home. And the net effect could be hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax savings.
That's a big help to the family for sure, right? So you mentioned something about the life care retirement communities. Now, I've started to see these more and more. How does the deductions work there?
Yeah, these are like becoming a big deal, Mark. I'm not sure if you've ever like dug into these places.
No, I haven't yet.
But often they are, you know, they're gated communities where people pay a very large deposit to get in, and they live basically in an apartment, let's say a two-bedroom apartment.
Right.
But it might cost $300,000-$600,000 just to get in as an entrance fee. And another $3,000-$5,000 a month that would cover, you know, some food and basically all of your expenses. Okay. So that's, you know, a typical life care, full life care community. So regarding these communities, as a medical expense deduction, part of these fees, the entrance fee in particular, are considered prepaid medical expenses.
Hmm.
So the idea of a prepaid medical expense deduction for a life care community, I heard this several years ago, and even someone brought this up to me recently. I thought, you know, this sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, right? But, right.
It's been affirmed by a tax court ruling about 10 years ago. So the decision allows your one-time entrance fee and possibly your reoccurring monthly charges too at these what they call Class A to continuing care communities to be classified as prepaid medical expenses. It's really technical. So you have to get the information in writing from the community and have them provide it to your tax advisor. But it creates a huge tax deduction. And the net effect is the same as that nursing home bill I mentioned before. So in that 1 year in particular, you'll have a very, very large medical expense deduction that you can use for planning purposes to take money out of taxable accounts or roll into Roth IRAs.
Yeah, like you said, it definitely can get very technical up in there. So make sure that you are, you know, having a conversation with your advisor and a qualified professional to kind of talk you through some of this stuff. And of course, Don is available to help you at donaldcash.com. That's donaldcash.com. You mentioned some other missing tax breaks for long-term care insurance, Medicare premiums, and the like. Tell us some more.
This is one that I've seen actually many, many times over the year, Mark. Most people and sometimes tax preparers only think of adding that long-term care insurance and Medicare premium deduction on the Schedule A as an itemized deduction, but there's another way to do it, okay? As I mentioned, most people don't itemize anymore on their taxes since it's a huge standard deduction. However, many people who retire from a full-time job as an employee decide to work part-time and earn income categorized as self-employed. Right.
Okay, so it can be
something like, if you're a tutor.
Yeah. Consulting.
Or consulting.
Right? Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Or real estate agent, for example.
It's a very popular one. Yeah.
Yep. Tour guide, a coach, or you could be self-employed, you know, a good part of your career. So these people get a direct deduction for health insurance on their tax return without needing to itemize on Schedule A. I mean, it's even better. Right. So they don't even need to exceed the 7.5% of their adjusted gross income to get the deduction. So it's really like a total home run.
So how does that work then?
So there's something called Schedule One on the 1040 form. There's always some weird schedule, right?
Yeah, right. They have those. Yeah.
Schedule One. So part one of Schedule One has common what I would call other income items like, say, rental income or alimony.
Oh, yeah, that's where, you see that one a lot. Okay, right.
Right. And also what I call, like, weird income categories. These are, like, stuff, like, you don't even think about, like, you know, other than rental income and alimony, the weird items would be, like, gambling income.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, like, you know, in the past, people probably never even declared that. Right, because they went to Atlantic City or Las Vegas, everything
right,
was
yeah.
done on cash.
Yeah,
except for large winnings. But now with all this online gambling, I would imagine everything is documented.
Mm-hmm.
Right, from these what are these big
sports bets and sports betting?
Yeah,
it just hit North Carolina. They've been advertising left and right for ESPN and all the different things for weeks now about sports betting's coming, so it's now legal here. Yeah,
don't you love the states looking for revenue?
Oh
right?
boy, they
legalize. Legalized online sports betting on your phone. Anything more addictive than that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And of course, every commercial ends with, if you have a problem, contact this number.
Right. These are the same politicians that are legalizing marijuana all over the country.
Yeah. Just,
right? For the tax revenue.
Yeah.
So you have gambling on these weird items, Alaska oil income. Okay. A lot of people don't realize that if you live in Alaska, you get a check every year. From the oil revenue. Did you know that?
I did not. Just because there's so much underneath the ground, I guess.
That's right. If you live in Alaska, you get a check from, it's called an oil dividend.
Well,
then you have jury duty income. And get this, is also a category for Olympic and Paralympic medal income.
Wow. Really? So that's wild.
They tax your income if you're in the Olympics or if you're in the disabled Olympics.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting because, Don, I didn't even realize that professional athletes of various sports, depending on the sport, they also have to do all these like state returns, right, from every place they play in. And, and if you're obviously you play a professional team, you might play in, you might hit 25 of the states in a calendar year. So, lots of weird little things in there.
I've seen that with CPA friends of mine. They do 25 tax returns.
Yeah, wild. Yeah. I guess you never think about it if you don't live that life, right?
So that's why it's much better for an NFL player because they only play 8 away games.
There you go. It's not as bad as baseball. Good gravy.
Oh, my! Or basketball, right?
Yeah, craziness.
So part two.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's hit part two, I guess, of schedule one, right?
Yeah, that's where the deductions are. They call it adjustments, Mark, not okay. deductions. Maybe so they figure you won't even notice.
Maybe.
It's called adjustments. Line 17 of the schedule, it's called self-employed health insurance deduction.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And this is one of those spots where you can mine for gold. So if you have self-employed income, you can add many of those medical expense deductions like long-term care, Medicare Part B, Medicare Part D, Medicare supplement to line 70. Even if you have regular health insurance, let's say if you're under age 65, you add it there
right.
at that spot. And you still take the standard deduction. Do you follow? It's kind of like double dipping.
Yeah.
You get the big standard deduction, like $30,000, and you get the deduction directly from your income. So what's even better, the adjustment on this amount on the 1040 form, not to get too technical, but it's on line 10 of the front page, and line 11 is the adjusted gross income. So if you remember when we talked about in the last show, if your adjusted gross income is above a certain amount, you're going to pay more for Medicare premium, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a way to bring down that adjusted gross income and potentially lower the Medicare premium so you avoid or reduce that surcharge. So that's the best place if you can get it for that deduction.
Well, speaking of our baseball thing a second ago, it sounds like a home run to me. Right. So this sounds like
total home run.
Yes. There'll be some good stuff in there. Any other cool or odd or interesting schedule one adjustments?
So the one that we were mentioning last show and at the beginning of this show is the health savings account.
Yes. The age. Many people hear this called a Roth on steroids sometimes.
Totally. It's excellent. Gets a little deep. So I think we're out of time for this show. So let's do this. Let's tackle that on the next show. How about that?
Absolutely.
And then throw up links for everything we talked about today.
Yeah. I mean, because you can get into the weeds, right? There's always so much. And we scratch a lot of surfaces here, but in 20 minutes, it's sometimes a little hard to get through all of this data. So we want to make sure we try to keep the time succinct for our listeners so they can get on about their day, but also hopefully pick up useful nuggets of information. So yeah, we'll absolutely talk about HSAs the next go round. And of course, if you've got questions about anything we've covered today, or just in general when it comes to making sure that you're having a sound strategy for your retirement, well, that's why you have to talk with a qualified professional like Don. He's a CPA and a CFP at Donald W. Cash & Associates, and you can find him online at donaldcash.com. That's donaldcash.com. You can call him at 800-664-1183, 800-664-1183. And you could subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or YouTube platforms and share the podcast with others that might benefit from the message as well. If you're checking it out on any of those, hit the little heart button, which is, I think, usually the case for liking. And that way you can catch new episodes when they come out. Of course, YouTube, you click the little bell for notifications and that will alert you to the next time a new one's dropped. So lots of good ways to do that. And of course, you can find it all at DonaldCash.com and get yourself onto the calendar as well at DonaldCash.com. Don, my friend, thanks for breaking down some complicated stuff and look forward to having our next chat soon.
Me too. Thanks, Mark.
I always appreciate your time, folks. Have yourself a great week. We'll see you next time here on Your Money and Your Life with Don Cash.
Investment advisory services offered through Donald W. Cash & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of New Jersey.